We're continuing the Shir in Sipurei Maaseiyos. We're studying the final story, the 13th story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, known as the Zion Betlers, the Seven Betlers, which Rabbi Nachman said is the highest of all the 13 stories. He had said if he came to the world just to teach this, this would be enough to show his tremendous achievement. And we've already had a number of shiurim on the story. The last shiur we completed the first day of the Sheva Brachas. This related to a young couple, children that were lost in the forest, and they end up in the forest. They meet seven different betlers, each one seeming to have a different major defect. And each one of these betlers gives them food, gives them bread, and then leaves them. And then the next one comes, and the next one, until finally they get out of the forest, and they themselves join the betlers, they themselves beg for food, until some of the betlers come up with a great idea, why don't we marry these two together, a shidduch between this boy and girl. And they do it, and they make the wedding, they dig a ditch in the forest, and that's where they celebrate the wedding. And at the wedding, these children, this chasen and kala, this bride and groom, are remembering what they went through and wishing at this time, at this pinnacle in their lives, if only they could share it with these special betlers that they met in the forest. And we're told that they had a tremendous deep yearning to see the first betler on the first day of the Sheva Brachas. And once they had this deep yearning, suddenly the betler says, I'm here. And he gives them as a gift. He says, when I left you previously in the forest, I gave you a blessing that you should be like me. You should live a long old age like me. But now I'm giving it to you literally as a wedding gift. I'm giving you as a gift to have my old age. And I might seem to be defective. It seems as if I can't see, because I choose not to look at, not to be distracted by all the distractions of this physical materialistic world. And this allows me to see past the world, both ahead and back. And he proved his ability to see by being able to show that he could remember further back than anybody else. And he told a story about different people who were on ships, and they arrived in a certain location, and there they were telling, each one was telling over their story about how far back they can remember. And the youngest one was able to remember when they cut the umbilical cord at the time he was born. And then the one who seemed to be younger than him, but was really older, said, that's an old story, that's nothing. I remember much further back than that. And each one was able to tell how they remembered further and further back. And the betler said, I was there. There were eight elders there. Each one was able to show how their memory reached further back and still further back. And then when they all finished, I said, interesting stories, but this is all relatively new. I remember when there was nothing, complete nothingness. And all of them were shocked, all of them uad, and they all agreed that he certainly remembers further back than all of us, before there was anything, before there was a soul, before there was anything. This was basically the story that we covered till now, and we mentioned a little bit of commentary as we went along. I'd like in this year to focus on strictly on commentary on this story, before we continue, Mr. Shimon, to the next story. The fact that each one of these elders, the fact that the betler said about himself, I'm very, very old, and at the same time very young, we find this by great tzaddikim. One of the ones where we see this in writing is David HaMelech. We know that the Torah speaks about the seven shepherds of the Jewish people, and each one is special in their own right. Avram Avinu is known for his extraordinary kindness, the fact that he maintained a house that was open in all directions to make it perfectly clear that everyone is welcome. And each time a person came in, he lavished them with, he treated them like royalty, and he didn't ask for anything for himself. In the end, after they finished eating and they wanted to show their appreciation, he said, not to me. Give it to one who I got it from, Hashem. And this is how he indoctrinated people with faith and respect in Hashem. Avraham Avinu was the first one who was broadcasting Hashem to the world. He went public with Hashem. Then we have Yitzhak Avinu, who was the one who was willing to put his life on the line to allow himself to be slaughtered as a human sacrifice, again, to glorify Hashem. Yaakov Avinu, his greatness, his study of Torah, and his being the first one to bring into the world a pure, pure strain. Each one of his children was... Avraham Avinu had a Yishmael. Yitzhak Avinu had an Esav. Avraham Avinu is known as... Yaakov Avinu is known as Mito Shlema, a pure bed. Each one of his children, righteous people. Moshe Rabbeinu, each one. And yet there's a certain uniqueness to Dovid HaMelech, that Dovid HaMelech, Hashem says that my kingdom is his kingdom, and his kingdom is my kingdom. We mentioned that when the Pasuk speaks about the future, when Hashem will be recognized by all as king, it says, Bayom hahu yihyeh Hashem echod u'shemo echod. Hashem will be one, and his name, his kingdom will be one. The Mefarshim tell us that the last letters of Echad, Ushemo, Echad, spell the word David, referring to David HaMelech. And we have many psukim in the Torah where Hashem says, I and him, I and David HaMelech go together. These two are inseparable. And it's by this David HaMelech that we find the Torah speaks about. It says at one point in the Navi, V'HaMelech Zokein, that he got old, he was an elder. We know that he lived to the age of 70, which on one hand represents a complete life, a full life. And at the same time, we find written about David HaMelech and about Moshiach, this Moshiach ben David, this concept of Ani Hayom Yiladeticha. We're told that David HaMelech was born with no years, 0 years. He was supposed to pass away within the first 30 days of his life. And it was only through the generous contribution of Adam HaRishon, Adam, who originally was supposed to live permanently. Hashem said, on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. Which means, the Mefarshim, the commentaries tell us, that Adam HaRishon was supposed to die within the first 1,000 years. Because the Torah tells us, Ki eleth shonim b'einecha keyom, that 1,000 years of ours are like a day by Hashem. So that if Hashem said on the day that you eat from this you're going to die, one of the interpretations is that Adam HaRishon was to die by the age of 1,000. We find that he lived only to the age of 930. The reason being that he donated. Adam HaRishon saw that one of his extensions, we're told that the word Adam, the Arizal says, the Aleph stands for Adam, the Dalet stands for David, and the Mem stands for Moshiach. So that David HaMelech was a part of Adam HaRishon, an extension of Adam HaRishon. And as such, when Adam HaRishon saw that this soul of King David was lifeless, had no years to it, Adam HaRishon decided to contribute 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. However, we're told that because of the fact that Adam ate from the tree of wisdom, his years were defective. So that even though he contributed years to David HaMelech, if there were only those years, David HaMelech would not have been able to fulfill his mission. And therefore, the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef, also contributed 70 years to Dover HaMelech. We're not going to go into all the details, but we know that Yitzchak Avinu lived to the age of 180. His father, Avraham, should have lived at least as long as him. Avraham Avinu wasn't any less than Yitzchak, so it's brought that Avraham Avinu donated 5 years for Dover HaMelech. Yaakov Avinu, we find, lived to the age of 147, which means that he contributed 33 years. From 47 to 80 is 33 years that he contributed to the life of Dover HaMelech. 33 and 5 gives us 38. We're missing 32 years. We're missing 32 years to get to 70 years. Yosef HaTzadik lived to the age of 110, his father to 147. This was the 37 years that came from Yosef HaTzadik. I don't remember every detail of this, but we're told that the Avos HaKadoshim also contributed 70 years, so that this would be, in a sense, a repair for any defectiveness that was found in the years of Adam HaRishon that he had contributed. Another take on this, another interpretation is, we find that Dover HaMelech led a double life. He was up during the day, and he was also up at night. The Gemara makes a point of emphasizing how Dover HaMelech woke up every single night at midnight, Chatzos Laila Kamelecha, so that he led a double life in a sense. Where did he get this from? Adam HaRishon contributed 70 years. The Avos contributed 70 years. This is what gave him this ability to be so unique in being able to be up by day and by night, to live life to its fullest, in a sense. This is called Chaim Aruchim, long life. Long life, which Rabbi Nachman explains based on this story. Long life isn't measured necessarily in how many days, how many years. Long life is measured in how full each day is. You can have a person who physically lives 80, 90 years in this life, and yet when they ring it up in the registers in heaven, they ring it up and this person lived 17 minutes. Because let's take a look at a day. What did they do with a day? They ate and drank and slept. A cow could do that. That's not a human being. That's not for human beings. Where did this person's life go, Chas v'Shalom? And this is why the Torah tells us, Leman yirbu yemeichem v'imei v'neichem al ho'adoma shenishba Hashem lavoseichem. That there is a land called Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, which is also given this title, Eretz HaChayim, the land of the living, the land of life, where because of the fact that this land is best suited for a person being able to see Hashem and believe in Hashem and feel the presence of Hashem with them all day, this is the land that's best suited for life, for a person to live. Living, again, being measured by a person's accomplishments, achieving things that are relevant to eternity. The fact that a person ate another breakfast, another lunch, that they don't take, we go into a cemetery, we don't see any mention of how many breakfasts the person ate, how many lunches, how many, the gashmius, the physical life that the person led, the materialistic life, that doesn't add up on those, that, they don't take that with them in the suitcases. What a person takes with them in the place where life is really long, in the eternal life, is only the good deeds, the Torah, the tefillah that the person did in this world. That's how we measure a person's life. And that's where we're told that there's a place on earth that's best suited for this, the land of Eretz Yisrael. And there's a person, there are the tzaddikim, the great holy tzaddikim, like Dover HaMelech, who give us the example of being able to live this type of long life. Now we know that one of Dover HaMelech, King David's greatest contributions to the Jewish people is the lesson of tshuva, David HaMelech allowed himself to serve as an example that not only can a tzibur, not only can a large group of people repent, as we find throughout the desert, the Jews sinned, they repented. They sinned, they repented, tshuva. But David HaMelech was one of the first people to set an example of tshuva for a yochid, that even an individual person, an individual, and a person on such a high pedestal, where the Torah says Hashem is much more particular about a great tzaddik than he is about a regular, an ordinary person. And David HaMelech, who seemingly angered Hashem and committed such a terrible act of taking Bathsheba, somebody else's wife, all the different details involved, and yet the Torah shows that David HaMelech was able to repent, able to do tshuva. Rabbi Nachman points out that what we mentioned earlier about David HaMelech, living this full life and being able to be old, very old, the Torah describes him HaMelech Zokein, and at the same time Ani Hayam Yiladeticha, being youthful and young in everything he did. This is something that each and every one of us can experience in the process of tshuva. We mentioned this before, but to reiterate and to clarify, the Torah tells us, Ger Shenizgayer Kekoton Shenoilad, that when a non-Jew makes a decision to come and join the Jewish people, the question is, what about all of that baggage? What about all of their connections, the family connections? What about the life that they lived until then? The Torah says, Kekoton Shenolad. Hashem considers him like a newborn baby. No creases, no signs of aging whatsoever, just literally making a brand new beginning, starting fresh, clean slate. Rav Nosnesal points out that so too a Jew who realizes that they've been behaving like a non-Jew. What is a non-Jew? A person who doesn't believe in Hashem, doesn't have faith in Hashem, isn't committed to Hashem. A Jew who comes to a realization that I've been living my life without Hashem, and now I want to start including Hashem in my life and making Hashem the focus of my life. For that Jew also, their beginning is kikoton shenolad. Hashem considers the person like a newborn baby. We know that we have many examples of this. One example is tshuva, Yom Kippur, a new slate. We wear white garments to show that we believe that as a result of this process of tshuva, we're going to come out lily white, clean, fresh, new beginning. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, tells us when a Jew leaves the synagogue on Motzoi Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, the attitude is supposed to be complete joy, happiness, confident that Hashem has surely accepted our prayers, our repentance, and we're starting fresh, starting over, brand new. Another example of this is when a person gets married. One of the greatest achievements of a Jew in this world is to find their true mate, their soulmate, and to get married. And we know there's a custom we see at the wedding here in this story that people come to a wedding, they give gifts. The Torah says if a person comes to a wedding and they don't see to it to add joy to the bride and groom, then it's like stealing chas v'shalom. So some people, their contribution is they're dancing, they're singing, they're participating in the joy of the actual celebration, and sometimes they actually bring a gift. Different kinds of gifts. The question is, what gift does Hashem give to this newly married couple? And the answer is, we're told, it's a complete kapora slicha mechila, a complete forgiveness for any sins that they might have done in the past, completely forgiven. We're told that there were certain great tzaddikim who at their wedding, or when they married off one of their children, there was such a level of holiness, of joy in heaven, that not only the bride and groom, but all those who joined in the simcha were also given a complete pardon, complete pardon. We find the Torah, the Gemara points this out, also about the passing away of a tzaddik. That when a great tzaddik, who lived his life completely loyal to Hashem, when he completes his mission in this world, those who join the family and the students to pay respects, final respects, those who join in showing respect to a tzaddik when he's departing from this world, the Gemara gives the example of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that when he passed away, he was the chief rabbi, all the Jews celebrate, joined in the funeral, and a voice from heaven came that every person who participated in this final respect received a complete pardon, a complete forgiveness for all of their sins. So we see this concept of tshuva, this concept of a new beginning in many different ways in a Jew's life, where it starts completely fresh. To take this a step further, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that every morning a Jew gets up in the morning and we say the special blessings. Shelo yesani goy, I bless Hashem, I thank Hashem that He didn't make me a non-Jew, that He didn't make me a slave, a servant, open my eyes. Hamachzir neshamos livgorim mesim, Hashem who returned my soul to my corpse, to my dead body. And the Shulchan Aruch says, how do we say that every day? What do you mean? I didn't die. I was alive. And the Shulchan Aruch says that each and every single day of a Jew's life is a brand new creation. Today is a day that was never ever here before and is never going to be here again. There's certain uniqueness in each and every single day. There are people who look, what do you mean? It's the same sun that came up yesterday. It's coming up today. The Arizal says that is false. That is completely false. The Torah tells us uvetuvoi mechadesh bechol yom tamid, that Hashem creates the world anew every single day. And if a person realizes that, then they can't get up in the morning the way they did yesterday. Because our religion teaches us that today is not yesterday. Today is something different. Unique, completely unique. Something unique. Person puts on a whole new set of clothes, the neshama that I'm wearing today is not yesterday's neshama. It's something brand new. Person is brand new. They're happy. They're celebrating. They have energy. They have enthusiasm. When something is old, when something is something I've done many times in the past, then it's hard to make believe. But if I know that it's really new, that's called living life to its fullest. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us about Rabbi Nachman, that when he wrote, when he decided to write down the biography of his rabbi, and he was thinking how to name this book, how to name this sefer, he chose to call it Chaye Moharan, the life of Rabbi Nachman. He said, why? Because it was in him that I saw what living is really all about. You saw a person who was totally alive. Every single day was something completely new, brand new. He said there were times that we sat, Rabbi Nachman gave a lecture to his students, a shir, and in the lecture he included the entire Torah just about. You felt that there was nothing he left out from Yiddishkeit. He covered everything. And a few minutes later he'd be sitting with us, and he would say, how does a person become a religious Jew? How does a person start connecting with Hashem? And he said, we saw that he wasn't joking. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't exaggerating. He had the ability to clear the registers completely, to wipe out the past totally, totally, to ignore it. And I'm starting fresh right now from zero. And that's what gave him the ability to rise, to keep climbing and climbing, because a person who's riding on their accomplishments, a person who feels they've done, I've accomplished this much, of course I want more, but I'm not going to deny what I've done already, that person can have 50% enthusiasm. But a person who's starting from zero, a person who's pitching, I'm at the starting gate, and this is the first moment that I'm breaking out of that starting gate, and the time of the clock is ticking, and I have an opportunity to accomplish, and whatever I amass, that that person is burning rubber, as they say. That person is really running. And he said, this is where we saw an example. He set an example for us. It's for each and every one of us on our level to have this newness, this freshness, which gives a person an enthusiasm to be able to live life really to its fullest. We find in the story of Job, where the Torah tells us the suffering, the incredible suffering and difficulties that he went through in life, one of the statements that he makes, he says, "Mi yitneni keyarche kedem." If only, if somebody would give me my earliest days, kimei elokai yishmereni, the days when Hashem was watching over me, like when I was a newborn baby, if only I could go back to that period of time when I knew that everything was being taken care of for me, a newborn baby that we know can't do anything, and Hashem is the one who's handling everything for that person. I had the privilege of seeing one of the cards that Rabbi Brody gave out a long time ago, a card, a sticker for a person to put on their refrigerator, that kind of thing, where it says, "Good morning, this is Hashem. I'll be handling everything, so just sit back and relax and have a wonderful day." This kind of attitude of a person having such complete confidence and trust in Hashem, that Hashem really is handling everything. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to do anything, but it means that everything I do, I'm going to do it with this level of trust, complete. Number one, before I do, I'm going to make sure to make it perfectly clear to Hashem that He is everything in my life, that I acknowledge His authority, and even if I'm not doing everything He wants me to do, I want to do everything He wants me to do. I really want it. Even though I have an evil inclination, I have a Yetzirah that's battling me every step of the way, and I make thousands of mistakes, but what I really, really want deep inside is, I want to do the right thing. I want to do what Hashem wants. And when a person really feels that way, they try to feel, and they express that, they verbalize that to Hashem, the person says, Hashem, I'm putting myself completely in your hands. I'm begging you to direct every thought, every word that comes out of my mouth, every action that I do. Once a person does that, the person is supposed to have a level of confidence and trust in Hashem and in myself, that if I really put sincere effort, I will be guided, I will be directed, I will be shown how to lead a proper life, a full life. The examples that Rabbeinu Zal gave in this story, he said that the person who had the weakest memory remembered when they cut the umbilical cord. And then the other one remembered when the seed was being taken. Rabbeinu Zal writes that Rabbi Nachman commented about this, that if you look in the Gemara, there are three rabbis in the Gemara that mention remembering far back. One of them, Shmuel, one of the very famous, mentioned very often throughout the Gemara, Shmuel said he remembers the midwife who helped his mother in birth. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said he remembered the mohel, he remembered the one who circumcised him. Rabbi Yochanan said, I remember the women who were standing around at the time I was born. I remember their conversation, what they were talking about at the time that I was being born. That's the furthest back that we find in the Torah. That's the furthest back that any rabbi mentions remembering. Rav Nosson Zal says, now try to understand who Rabbi Nachman is, that he begins this story speaking about a tzaddik who was able to remember when they cut the umbilical cord, and the next one says, that's nothing. In order for somebody to tell this story, in order for Rabbi Nachman to speak about these different levels of a person being able to remember when they were first conceived, and about a person remembering when the taste first went into the soul, and the other one when the smell went in, and when the marrow, each one, in order to be able to tell this story, he had to know these levels. He had to have experienced these levels. So for a person to try to picture what level we're talking about, one of the critical things that we mentioned regarding these children when they were at the wedding and they had a deep yearning, they really wanted to see the Bettler, and then suddenly he appeared. This is one of the very critical points in terms of our connection with Hashem. Hashem has everything. Hashem can give a person anything and everything. If Hashem does it, if Hashem gives a person something without the person asking for it, without the person really wanting the thing fully, then that item is defective. That item cannot be perfect, cannot be complete. There's a term, Isarusa Deleila, a heavenly inspiration, and there's the term Isarusa Delesata, an inspiration that comes from down below. The Sforim HaKdoshim, the holy books tell us that any time that a person, a human being on earth, receives something, divine inspiration, a gift from Hashem, without having first asked for it, and without having first done some kind of, taken some kind of initiative to make some kind of move to acquire it, that item is incomplete. It doesn't have a full blessing to it. It's when the person makes the first move, when the person takes initiative, the person makes some kind of an effort to show that I want Hashem's help, I'm seeking Hashem's help, and then the person's given the help from Hashem, that's the proper order, and then the blessing can be a complete one. We find this in the process of tshuva when it comes to repentance. Hashem says to the Jewish people, Shuvu Eli, return to me, va'ashuv aleichem, and I will return to you. Hashem is saying, you make the first move is yours. Shuvu Eli, you return to me, take one step towards me, I'll take 1,000 steps towards you, I'll take 1,000,000 steps towards you. But show the initiative, make a move. When we pray, we say to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Hashem, return us to you. We're trying to say to Hashem, Hashem, we're weak. If you're going to wait for us to make the move sometimes, you're going to wait a long time. Sometimes we're so weak that even the tiniest step, we feel we can't do it. Therefore, we beg Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, you Hashem, bring us close to you, return us to you, v'nashuva, pull us in, and then once you pull us in, we'll do something also. This is referred to as a debate that's always going on between Hashem and the Jewish people. Hashem, who has our real good intent, Hashem wants what's really best for us, says, do it the right way. Harchev picha, open your mouth wide, va'amalehu, Hashem says, I'll fill it. Meaning, even if you can't do action, this world, the world that we're living in, is called Olam Ha'asiyah, the world of action. Hashem says there are times that a person feels so weak that action can't. Hashem says, then at least talk to me. Open your mouth wide. At least express, verbalize that you want help, that you're seeking help. Ask for help. And then Hashem says, then if I give you the help, it'll be a genuine blessing. If there is that Isarusa, though, that this is why Rabbeinu Zal makes a point in the story of saying each time that they were at the wedding, they had a very deep yearning and a longing to see that Bettler, and suddenly he appeared. It was a response to their desire, to their deep yearning. And this is what Hashem wants most from us. When the Torah describes the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, and all the sacrifices, all the efforts that were made there, it's referred to as Lerotzoin Lefnei Hashem. It was an expression of our desire, our goodwill. when the Torah speaks in this week's parsha, Parsha's Truma, when the Torah speaks about building the Mishkan, building the tabernacle, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Kol ish asher yidvenu liboy, each and every single person whose heart desires, they want to give, let them give. Each one will give in their own way. This one will give wood, this one will give silver, this one will give gold. So that what were the components of the Holy Temple? What was it comprised of? The goodwill of each and every single Jew. That's what made that structure the holiest structure in the world. That's what attracted, that's what made it a magnet to attract the presence of Hashem, the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit of Hashem. All of this desire, that it was comprised of all the goodwill, the desire, I want to give. This person's wanting to give was expressed in a half a shekel. The other person gave $500,000. Both were an expression of rutzayim, the desire. The most important thing that counted was this desire, this goodwill. And it's this rutzayim that we see expressed in this story by the children again and again, that each time they show that they really wanted, right away the betler appeared and he gave them an extraordinary gift. As we go over each one of the days, we're going to see the incredible gifts that each one of these tzaddikim gave them. We find that when the Torah defines Judaism, defines serving Hashem, we find a word that's used again and again that seemingly has no meaning. The pasuk says, "Asher onochi metzavcha." I want you to fulfill these instructions which I am instructing you. Hayom, today. Asher anochi mitzave eschem, hayom. Vi'atem hadveikem b'shem alokechem, chayim kulchem, hayom. This word, today. Person, in a book of rules, a book of laws, what is the point of saying, even mentioning this one time? Of course Hashem told it to them today, on whatever today it was. Why is it today being documented? And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this is the theme, this is the most important point underlying in this first story, that religion, serving Hashem, is meaningful when it's today. When it's not something of the past, it's not something that I've been doing, or it's not something that I know I'm going to have a chance to do again tomorrow. If a person knows that they're going to have an opportunity to daven shacharis again tomorrow, then I don't have to put everything I have into it today, because I have another chance. The point that's being emphasized here, that if you want to get the maximum that you can out of a mitzvah, it'll only be if your attitude is today. No yesterday, no tomorrow. This is it. I have this one opportunity to do it. Now I better do it the best that I can. Person comes home to their family. Here again, a person comes home. It's another day. Another day of seeing my wife, seeing my kids. If the person was given a note right before they walked into the house that you're hereby being notified that this is your final day, chas v'shalom lo aleinu, this is your last opportunity to be with your wife and children. Picture the attitude that a person would have. Would they be able to get angry if the slightest thing wasn't in the proper place? Or would they try to maximize, to really, really take advantage and get the maximum enjoyment, make sure that this is going to remain with my kids for the rest of their lives, this final meeting that I'm having with them, to make sure that it really, that I do the best that I possibly can for their benefit, for my benefit. And this is tied into the concept of arichas apayim. When we speak about this term, long life, the betler who said that he lived, he was the oldest, and we mentioned about a person being able to get the maximum, to maximize every day, every minute of our lives, there's a concept of long breath, arichas, And there's a concept of short breath, shortness of breath. When does a person experience shortness of breath? When they're angry, when a person gets angry, when a person is really angry, that shortness of breath, when a person's either very angry or very upset or very troubled. When the Jews were in Egypt and they were experiencing terrible, terrible suffering, slavery for hundreds of years, and not just ordinary slavery, but the Egyptians made the men do the women's jobs and the women do the men's jobs. Everything was upside down, topsy-turvy. The Torah tells us that the Jews were suffering mikoitzer ruach, shortness of breath. Because we talk about a person says, I had the wind knocked out of me. When a person gets hit by something terrible, it knocked the wind out of me completely. That shortness of breath when something terrible is happening, and the opposite of that is a person who feels totally comfortable, a person who is completely satisfied, completely at ease. Why? Because sit back and relax. Hashem is at the wheel. Don't worry about a thing. Everything is being taken care of perfectly. A person who has genuine faith in Hashem and faith in oneself, the faith that Hashem wants us to have in ourselves, to believe that we are part of the Jewish nation, that Hashem loves us and Hashem wants only our good. When a person has that faith, that tremendous faith, that gives a person arichas apayim. That gives a person patience. That gives a person the ability to handle, I can handle anything. If I know that it's really for my good, and I know that anything that seems to be bad is going to come to an end. It's not permanent. There's no such thing as permanent suffering. We see the Jewish nation went through all kinds of terrible, terrible, but the terrible finished, and the Jews continued. The Jewish people continued. There was an Egypt, there was the Greeks, there were the Romans, there were the Persians, there were the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, not 1,000 years ago, recently. And it was the worst of the worst. But the worst ended, and the Jewish people did not end. The Jewish people are Nitzchi. And so too, each and every single individual Jew who didn't lose their faith, who were able to hold on and to believe that this is for a reason, to believe that it's possible that this is going to come to an end, those survived. Many of those were privileged to survive and continue. And the millions and millions of Jews that we see around the world today and the synagogues that we have in the yeshivas are a product of that faith. Rav Nosson Zal points out that we see when the Torah speaks about this arichas apayim, this patience, it uses a plural terminology. It doesn't say arichas af, it says arichas apayim. And the Gemara says this refers to tzaddikim, ar erech apayim with tzaddikim, and lorishoim. That this patience, and this faith and confidence applies to righteous people, that they have to have this newness, this freshness every single day, this realization that Hashem is patient with me, and if yesterday wasn't good, Hashem is giving me another chance today, a whole new beginning. And never to take the attitude that today is a continuation of yesterday, it's something totally new. That's for tzaddikim. And the same thing is true for rishonim. That a person who led the wrong kind of life, who did all kinds of terrible things, and those people who are doing those wrong things, who don't correct it, usually it's only for one reason. They're old. I've been doing this such a long, I can't change. Can't start over. Can't. That can't is a denial of this Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim, where the Torah testifies that Hashem has patience. Hashem has patience for the tzaddikim, and Hashem has patience for the rishoyim. That the rasha, no matter how long, no matter how many times he did it, at any point in time when he chooses to stop, to pull that emergency brake, stop, and starting, I'm getting off the train, and I'm getting on a different train, Hashem is waiting for that person Hashem is patient. He has this arichas apayim waiting for the person to make this new beginning. And this term hayom that we mentioned, the hayom, today, the fact that that's mentioned again and again, this attitude that forgetting yesterday and not thinking about tomorrow, in our Shmon Esrei, in the most important prayer that we say, the climax of our prayer, the 18 blessings, 19 blessings, one of the things we ask for there is V'choser mimenu yogoin v'anocha. Hashem, please remove from us, take away from us the heaviness and the sighing and the struggle, the pain and suffering that we're going through. One of the leading Breslovers who lived in the recent 100 years, Rebbe Freimelzal, writes in his Sefer that this Hayoim that we mention, when the Torah keeps reiterating today, focus on today, don't think about yesterday, don't think about tomorrow, just today. The word Hayoim makes up the first letters of Choser Mimenu Yogoin Vanocha, that this can remove from a person all the heaviness, all the struggle, all the pain. If a person will just focus on today, both spiritually, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to parnasa, earning a livelihood, a person will think, I just have to do today what I need to do to support my family. If a person will have that attitude, that'll eliminate the heaviness and the strain and the struggle that unfortunately defeats many people, chas v'shalom, and gives them a defeatist attitude, can't do it. Hashem should help, we should be zeicha, to be able to derive the lessons and the messages and the deep wisdom that's found in each one of these stories, and use it to be able to improve our lives, the lives of our families and friends, and be zeicha to be able to lead the kind of life that's being described. This was the first day. In the next shiur, we're going to go on to the second day, where they meet the next betler, who was the deaf betler, who seemed as if he couldn't hear. And we're going to see the level of the good life that he had, each one of them, and be able to learn to be able to live a kind of life that will lead to the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu. Just a